Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yo. Yeah, yo. Moolala. Yeah, yo. Bitch, better have my money. Y'all should know me well enough. Bitch, better have my money. Please don't call me on. Like blah, blah, blah. Louis 13 and it's all on me. Nigga, you just bought a shot. Kamikaze, if you think that you gon' knock me off the top. Shit, your wife in the backseat of my brand new foreign car. Don't act like you forgot. I called a shot, shot, shot. Like blah, blah, blah. Pay me what you want it. Don't act like you forgot. Bitch, but I am my mom.
I got them for you.
I don't need the pills.
I'm just gonna have another drink. And when I'm putting work in on the weekend, I look back on this and think how we had the club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Club going up on the Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Working Monday night on the corner flipping hard.
Well, good evening. It's your girl, Molly Red, and you are tuned in to Molly's World. And I cut the song off because I was scrolling through Facebook, and it wasn't stuff that I see. That was just, y'all know how I do. Y'all know I'm real ignorant sometimes. So, this girl posted on Facebook how she's so in love with her dude and blase, blase. Your typical, you know, thought stuff. Then how other females shouldn't post on his thing. So another female commented on her thing. And they're really going back and forth with the arguing about a dude who, I might even try to joke, who she don't even want. But this is a issue that I see a lot on Facebook. Let me tell you something, you stupid girl. If another girl is talking to your dude and it's a continuous thing, it's clearly because he's talking to her. Duh. No female in their right mind, keyword right mind, no female in her right mind is going to hope imaginary conversations with a person who's not talking to her. No, bitch. If she keeps talking to him, it's because he's talking to her. She's not just going to send these imaginary messages saying, oh, I love you, I miss you, when we going to hang out, oh, I had fun yesterday, and he's not responding, or this stuff never happened. Like, some people are just so damn stupid. It just, anyway, I don't got time for that. And I see that they cutting up again out there in Ferguson. Niggas ain't got nothing else better to do. Excuse my French. Yeah, niggas ain't got nothing else better to do. Read a book. Write a poem. Write an essay. Instead of holding hands on the highway. It ain't that serious. The boy's dead and gone. He can't come back. It is what it is. Sitting there causing all this confusion is not going to make him come back, and it's not going to make the situation better. It's going to make it work. You make the cops not like y'all, dummy. Then somebody else got shot. Anyway, I've got time for this today. I got an interview that I'm really excited about because she's very pretty. And there's too many pretty artists out there in the world. I don't care about them talking about females. A lot of female artists be looking like a whole hot mess and a half. And she's very pretty. And y'all know I don't tell nobody that they pretty. Y'all know I don't like nobody. I'm very mean. But she's very pretty. So I'm going to be nice. Because I like pretty people. And she looks very interesting. And y'all know I'm nosy. So I'm going to ask a whole bunch of questions. Because I'm real nosy. But if she was ugly, I wouldn't interview her anyway. Y'all know me. I don't like ugly people. I only hang out with pretty people. No, that's not true. I got one ugly friend. She real ugly. But we don't go out in public together. I just send her text message and see how she does. Anyway, time for my interview.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm wonderful.
I want you to introduce yourself because I don't like to introduce artists because, you know, I don't do a good job. So I want you to introduce yourself.
Alrighty then. So hello everybody listening. My name is Tetra Girard and I'm really excited to be here tonight and talking to your wonderful host Molly.
Oh, that's so special. Okay.
You are special.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I was reading over, you know, your information. I went through your, like I said, I'm very nosy. I went through your Instagram and I looked at your pictures and things. Like I said, you're very,
totally
very
fine.
Pretty.
I'm
very,
pretty.
Very pretty.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, because, you know, the information that is sent to me, of course, I don't send it to everybody. So tell the people, you know, where you're from and how did you get started doing music?
All right. So I'm originally from Fairfield, Connecticut, which is a very small town here in the state. But right now I live in New York City because I go to college at the New School. I study politics and global studies, which is relatively boring. So I have to keep myself in. So I pursue music on the side. I really started playing when I was 2 years old. I started off with my brother teaching me how to play piano. He literally just sat me on his lap and pressed my hands on the keys until I really learned whatever he was learning. And then from then on, I just started picking up a bunch of different instruments. And when I was 6, I got my first guitar. And I remember just learning like 4 chords and playing those 4 chords over and over again until I started writing my own music. And then I picked up singing shortly after that. It just seems like everything followed one after the other. And then by the time I was 12, I began recording my own music on GarageBand.
Okay. That's good. I can't play nothing but the keys on my phone.
I mean, those are important keys, too. I mean, you need to know how to use those keys as well. So,
okay, you live in New York. How do you
yes.
like, you know, it's from Connecticut to New York, how do you like the change?
Well, I mean, I spent all of my younger years with my parents, like, taking me to the city for concerts and going to museums and just taking day trips, walking around, like, the West Village or the Upper West Side. So it was pretty, like, much coming back to my second home when I moved in. I actually moved there, like, 2 years ago for college, and it was just, like, the perfect place because I felt so out of place when I was living in Connecticut. And when I came to New York, there were people like me everywhere, so I just felt like I came right home.
Okay. See, I'm from New Jersey, and my dad lives in New York, so I know, you know, I love New York. I love it. I love New York. It's really fun, and there's always something to do, always something to do in New York.
That's so true.
So.
You can just walk out anywhere, and there's something going on. That's why I love the city.
It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. So with
definitely is.
You being in New York and not in a place like, let's say, North Carolina or even Connecticut, how hard is it? And, well, what are the pros and the cons as far as the music is concerned, being in New York?
I think, well, when I first came to New York, I didn't exactly realize how many people wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I think that was one of the hardest things to cope with at first, because in Connecticut, I felt like the only one that was writing music and performing and getting to sing in all these places. But when I went to New York, I was one of a million. So I think by going to open mics and, like, talking to other musicians and seeing how they deal with being a singer-songwriter in the city, I got to just, like, learn the ropes and figure out how to make myself heard. And that and that's something that I definitely still do struggle with, because I'm still starting out as a musician. My song only came out 3 weeks ago, and I'm super lucky for it to get the reception it has. I have amazing friends who've been sharing the song. Really great connections at my school who are like, hey, listen to our schoolmate song. This is really cool. But it was one of the hardest things to deal with, just knowing, like, okay, so I'm not the only one. So I guess it just motivated me to work 10 times harder. And I think in a similar way, the pros are just, like, being surrounded by so many musicians, because I felt as though, like, when I was living in Connecticut, I didn't really get to know so much about things, like, even not just music, but things that are going on in the world and our society. And I felt like I became 10 times more culturally aware when I moved there. I got to know about different things and got to see issues that weren't just so single-sided. And I got to learn about different musicians and bands and a lot of other amazing things I really wouldn't have otherwise if I were not surrounded by these people. So there's always good and the bad to everything. That's what I always say.
Yeah. So, okay, being that you are in school, is it hard to do your music in your school?
It definitely is. So what I used to do, like, over the past couple of years, I would find a way to, like, go to classes during the week. And like, sometimes late at night, like, afterwards, I would meet my mom. She'd drive up to the city and, like, come with me to the studio, and we'd be working until, like, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning or on the weekends. And at first, it was absolutely tiring, especially as a freshman and going to school and trying to pursue music. It was crazy, and I just felt like so many times that I couldn't. And I think that's also so long in the first place, because it's been a project that's been going on for now about 2 years. So getting a way to figure out like how to time manage has been a definite process, but now I've sort of got a hang to it. Like last semester I did like almost 20 credits in school. I had two jobs at the same time and I still managed to finish the entire EP. So I think I've become much better at it, but it was definitely something that I had to get used to. Yeah, it was something that I definitely needed to learn how to get used to completely.
So I don't want you to take offense to the question I'm about to ask, but I have to ask the question. Do you write your own music?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
completely.
So is it
lyric, melody, everything.
So is it hard for you to write your own music, or does it just come natural?
Writing music is probably the most natural thing about myself. I've been writing since I was very young. I started off by like writing poetry, and then when I was a little bit older, I started connecting poetry and music together. So a lot of my music, because I went to college when I was relatively young, I went when I was 16, and I think I really just did all of my growing up these last couple years in college, so most of my songs come from those experiences. The crazy times, the good times, the bad times. So the writing is definitely one of the easier aspects. It's everything else that's complicated.
So it's easier. So what about music and dealing with music only? What's the hardest part about music?
I think there's such a want to always be original. Like you don't want to sound like anybody else. So sometimes I would write a song and be like, this sounds so much like, I don't know, I'm going to throw an artist name out there, Taylor Swift. It sounds so much like her. Is this like a good thing? Is this a bad thing? I don't know. Should I keep writing this melody? And then sometimes I'm always like, just write it and see how it turns out, because it could be totally different by the time you finish getting it onto paper, or just like scratch and move on to the next. So I think that entire want of being original is kind of like an existential crisis for all songwriters, because we all want to be our own person, but that can be kind of hard sometimes.
I understand. I mean, I don't write music, but my husband does, and he gets that situation where he thinks that he sounds like other people, so he gets a little frustrated sometimes. Cause like you said, you don't want to sound like someone else. You want to be original. So
exactly.
But if you had to put yourself in the category with anyone, who would you put yourself in the category with?
Oh, my gosh, that's so hard. Can I name a few people?
yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so I have like a list. I would say I'd compare myself to Taylor Swift. She's kind of like my idol. I would say Adele, Amy Winehouse, a little bit of Lana Del Rey, and Meghan Trainor.
That's good music. That's
they
good.
All have fantastic music,
that's
and I
good.
Love all of their work, and I just love the fact that they're such free-spirited, created, and amazing women, and I find them not only to be inspiring musicians, but inspiring people as well.
Okay, well, that's good. So, if, other than the people you just named, if you could work with any rapper in any...
Oh my gosh. I think a life goal, if I'm naming like my five-year-old Petra goal, it's to work with Paul McCartney. But in terms of producers, I would love to work with Dev Hynes. I love Dev Hynes. He's incredible. So hopefully one day, if he ever hears this, like, hey, I want to do music with you because you're really cool. Hit me up.
So,
you got to give the shout out sometimes.
Yeah, you do. You never know. You never know who's listening. So, you do your own music. You go to school. You have to factor all the stuff in, and you still have to have time for yourself.
Yes.
How long did it take you how long does it normally take you to finish a whole song, and then how many songs have you finished in total? You know, I guess, like, if you were to put an album out, would you be able to? Do you have enough songs for that?
Yeah, I definitely have enough material for an album. In terms of, like, writing songs, it always varies. Like, sometimes I can write a song in 10 minutes, 20 minutes the most. Sometimes it's taken me a year to write a song. But those are like the more songs that I'm thinking about, or like they're about a very particular situation and I just never knew what to say or how to say it. So it's just taken me forever to put the lyrics out into paper. But usually if I'm like writing a song, the most average, it's like maybe a week or so. And because usually what I do is that I would first, I'd write, it's always different. So sometimes like it would be like writing words on my notebook, typing them on my phone. Sometimes I text them to my mom and then she would reply with a question mark. And be like, oh, I guess she got used to it now. So she's like, oh, you're writing song lyrics. That's totally fine. But sometimes I like pull out the voice memo on my phone and I just start like humming random off-key melodies, hoping that it turns into something. It's always really different. And I do say that songwriting is a very creative and unpredictable process. So it's never been the same way twice. That's how it's always been for me and my music.
Okay. So do you work with a, because I had one artist, she had a whole band. Do you have your own band or how do you come up with the actual music song?
So I don't have a band. And a lot of the music that you're going to hear on my EP is our original ideas from myself. So, like, for instance, Glamour Girl, what I did with that song is that I wrote it and then I recorded all of the instruments on GarageBand. So guitar, bass, drums, synths, background vocals, I did that all by myself. And what's really cool about technology is that you can do everything on a computer nowadays. So I programmed a lot of the drums and the bass, and everything else was like played at a studio when we went to full production of the song. And so everything is done by me, and all the singing has been done by me, the songwriting has been done by me. It's been very much a one-man process.
Okay, well, that's
or more like
well,
a one-woman process.
Yeah. So, okay, well, obviously your family does support you because, you know, some people, their families don't support them. So,
yeah.
I hear you say that your mom helps you a lot. Does it become,
yeah.
I'm not going to say aggravating, but is she ever like the momager, like try to manage you at some point in time?
Oh, my God, because I totally hate the word momager. I mean, yeah, she's my, it's just like the one word I hate because, I mean, that's like the word to be so negative. She's definitely, she's a momager in the most positive and amazing ways. She's always had my best interest, and she knows that I'm very stubborn sometimes. So she would, of course, if I'm going to make a mistake, she's like, Petra, you're going to make a huge mistake. Don't do what you're doing at all. Just stop. Or if I'm going the right direction, she'd be like, okay, keep on going. You're doing it right. This is amazing. But she always allows me to have my independence and my say in things. But she definitely she's the brains behind who I am, really. She really helps me figure out a lot of things. And she's not only just like that, like business-wise, but she's also very creative that way. Like she helped me a lot with my music video in terms of like coming up with costumes and being there for all the shoots. She was like my bodyguard, my hairstylist, my makeup artist. She's everything. And I honestly couldn't have gotten to where I have right now if it weren't her constantly pushing me and being there and helping me out.
Well, that's good, because some parents, they are the worst. That's good.
My dad is equally supportive. Yeah, both my parents are amazing. And my dad, he always tells me, like, I have the link to your video on my phone, and whenever I see people, I'm like, here, let me text it to you so you can watch my daughter's music video. Both my parents are incredible. They've been so supportive with my music. I'm really lucky to have parents like them backing me up.
That's good. That's good. Well, and another good thing is that you're really good, so it's not like you're one of those sound like a dying cat on the street, but, you know, that's good. That's really good. I mean, no, seriously, I know a few people, and they sound like they've been hit by 15 cars, and they're just, they sound horrible.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that you like my music. That makes me very happy, because I heard you talking to me, like, I don't like people. I'm like, oh, God, I hope she likes me. That's scary.
You know, some people are just, you know, some artists are extremely cocky, and I have been blessed. The last few interviews I've done, no one was cocky. Everybody was very humble and very nice people, and I'm glad you are one of the nice people, because sometimes I get headaches. I really do get headaches. You're welcome.
That's nice. Nice to be reassured that you're nice once in a while.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's you know, because I've heard and I've seen with my own two eyes, the music industry can really turn people sour, turn people into the devil, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Who else in your family sings?
Well, no one else in my family really sings. I mean, music mostly just like runs between my brother and I. My brother is a concert pianist and a composer, and he's doing incredible things himself. He's written an opera, which is his senior thesis as well, and that's going into full production for him. So he's a rising star in his own right in the classical music world. Mostly it's been my brother and I that's very musical. My parents are just enjoyers of music. They like listening and recording and going to our concerts. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. That's you two are really setting the bar for others. You know, I never hear anyone talk about other people or even know anyone that does an opera. I've never even listened. Well, I'm not going to lie. I've heard one once.
When he told me about it, I was like, this sounds pretty good. This sounds like a good idea. And he's so wildly talented. And if anything, he also is one of the biggest supporters of my music as well. He's always there, like, listening to me when I practice and always tells me, like, hey, you should change this up a little bit or you should try this out. But I have really good support system, and I'm very lucky.
That's good. So if you weren't, singing in the music industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned before, I'm studying politics and global studies at Eugene Lane College, part of the new school, and in that instance, I would be pursuing law. I remember when I told my mom when I was like 6 years old, like, I'm going to be a lawyer. That was shortly after watching Legally Blonde. Elle Woods, the fictional character, is definitely also one of my idols. I just love how, like, cool she is. Doesn't care about anything, and she's like, I am my own woman. So definitely I would be pursuing law. So right about now I would be studying for my LSAT.
Okay. So let's just say, hopefully this happens, let's say you get picked up by a major label and you become the next Beyonce or whoever,
mm-hmm.
or Taylor Swift, would you continue to stay in school or would you stop?
No, I definitely would continue to stay in school. I can't imagine myself leaving my school, as corny as that sounds. I absolutely love where I am. And my mom always says this, like, no matter if you're going to get signed by a label within a month, tomorrow, within the next hour, school's always going to be a part of your life. And even if you don't get to finish right now, you have your entire life to go back and continue. Hopefully, I can finish soon. I have only like a year and a half left at school, so fingers crossed I can graduate on time.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who I am, if I am the next Beyonce or Taylor Swift, that I still am always going to need to learn. So school and education is always going to be a very important part of my life.
Well, that's good. Because, again, people get so wrapped up in the thing that they forget that can all go away at some point. And you still need your education. So that's good.
Of course.
Some people don't understand that. And you are clearly not an idiot. So I say that because, again, I know people who have threw away their lives pursuing a dream, such as music or even acting, and it does not work out.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're somewhere sitting on the log playing with their toenails. So,
right.
I mean,
no, my parents have always emphasized that from when I was very young, when I first said, Mom, Dad, I want to be a pop star. I think that's kind of like what I told them, like, okay, that's fantastic, but make sure you still get all A's in school. Otherwise, you're not going to be anything. So they've always said, like, the music's fun. We know that you're good at that. Great. But we want to also see that you're good in your books as well. And I think I've done them proud. I've been on the dean's list. So I'm doing okay in school, I think. But education is always going to be a top priority no matter where I go in my life.
Okay. Before I ask the question, have you performed? Well, no, you said you have. So, okay, before you go on stage and you are about to put on the best performance in the world, what's going through your head?
My thing is, like, just don't say the wrong words, don't sing off of tune. Don't look at anybody directly in the eye and just sing for yourself. Those are like the the things that I think of commonly. But then okay. Sometimes I do get extraordinarily nervous. Like, it doesn't matter how many people are there. I just want to make sure that I'm doing the best performance that I could for this group of people. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, I want to sing this perfectly. There are so many good people. How can I do this? So sometimes, like, the butterflies, of course, get to you. But now that I've performed a couple times, instead of going away, which is a good thing, yay for that. But I always just think, like, you know, just sing your heart out, do what you can, and don't worry about anything else. You're going to be okay.
Okay. Well, that's good. You know, everyone has something different. So.
Oh, yeah.
Some people junk food before they go on, eat, like, aren't you going to throw up?
Okay. Oh, my God. I could never do that. I never eat before a performance.
Really?
Yeah,
you don't
I
eat
could
anything.
Never eat. I would probably, if it's like later in the night, I might eat like breakfast. And then when it gets mm-hmm. closer to the time of performing, I'm just like, I don't want to eat anything. And then afterwards, I would eat a horse. I would just eat and okay. eat because I would be so hungry after, but I would just get so nervous. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can eat anything I want.
Well, then I know you did good eating. I can eat once you're finished. If you know you did good, you're at ease. Okay, I can eat something. I can relax. Otherwise, your mind is going a million miles a minute. Like, oh my gosh,
when I'm nearing the end of like the last song, I'm like, okay, so do I want to get like dollar pizza? Do I want to get Chinese food? Like, what am I feeling right after this performance? Mm-hmm. And
so, the song that was sent to me, one second, Glamorous Girl, right?
Yeah. Glamour Girl, yes.
Glamour Girl.
Yes.
Tell me what was going through your mind when you were writing the song. How did it go when you were recording it and things like that?
Okay, so it's a very funny story about how I wrote the song because it's definitely different than everything else I've done. So I used to be part of a choir back close to my hometown in Westport, Connecticut. I sang there for about like 4 or 5 years. And the masses used to be extraordinarily long. Like, I loved singing at them, and I loved being a part of it. But sometimes I would just start daydreaming at some point. So I would always take I always listen to what they were saying, but then I would just be like, hey, I'm listening to this music, and I'm thinking about a lot of other things, like life and boys and whatever. And then I started taking, like, a pencil and a piece of paper with me. And then one day, this is actually during a Good Friday service. It's, like, the absolute worst thing to admit to, but it's a totally true story. I started thinking about this melody that's like, na 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 na. I'm like, ooh, this sounds kind of catchy. Let me jot this down. And it was like a 6-hour service too. So it was really long. So I had enough time to like write everything down. And then I wrote down ideas for like what I wanted the guitar to sound like, the drums to sound like. Like I told you, every song that I write is very different. So I wrote down also, because I had so much time, like things that inspired me or what I was thinking about. And I remember saying like, oh, I'm thinking about like Marilyn Monroe and like the 7-Year Itch and all these other really classic Hollywood film stars. And I would just like write words, and then by the time I got out of the mass and went to the car, and I was like, hey mom, look at that, it's just like you wrote a song in mass again, didn't you? I'm like, yes, that's what I did. So when I got home, I just ran with the idea, and I recorded it on GarageBand as quickly as I could, and mm-hmm. then I just held on to the song until I really decided like I'm going to record an EP. And when I was thinking about like what did I want, like what songs did I want to have, because I have written so many songs, I've written a ton of music. That was the first song that I thought of. I was like, Glamour Girl needs to be the lead single. And my mom was like, how do you know that? I'm like, I just know. It's going to be amazing. And recording it was a ton of fun as well. I just programmed everything, and I got to sing the song. I recorded a lot of crazy harmonies. I got to have this really cool bass in there. It kind of sounds like a laser. And it's a fun song, and I'm really glad that people are liking it a lot.
So we are going to play the song now.
Yay!
So I would like for you to introduce your song, and then we're going to go ahead and play it.
All right, everybody. My name is Petra Girard, and you're listening to my song, Glamour Girl. I hope you like it.
I thought I wouldn't, but I couldn't resist. You're that kind of trouble that I don't want to miss. Come over here, put that sugar on. Trouble that I don't wanna miss. You might think I'm crazy.
my gosh. You sound like, I had to write it down so I didn't forget. You sound like Fergie a little bit. You do sound
Winehouse. No one's ever compared me to Fergie, so I'm right now like having a little dance on my bed while you're saying this because I love Fergie. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. But yeah, thank you. Sorry, I had like a fangirl moment.
I'm listening like, wait, she sounds like Fergie. Yeah, because I love Fergie. I mean, you sound like just like her.
Oh my God. That's amazing you can even say that because I love her so much. Oh my gosh. I'm fangirling right now if you can't tell.
And, you know, you do sound like Amy Winehouse a little bit, and you sound like, you do sound like Taylor Swift a little bit, but to me, you sound like Fergie. Like, just
that's
like
so
Fergie.
Cool. I love it.
I love this song. I do. Like, I'm going to put this song. Because originally the song wasn't in the correct format, so I couldn't even listen to the song.
Oh, no.
But my husband, he fixed it for me. So this is my first time hearing the song. He fixed
it for
me.
Shout out to your husband, yes.
And now I get to put the song on my phone, and I get to jam to it in my car. Because I like the song. I really like the song. It's a feel-good song.
Definitely it is. It's actually one of the happier songs I've written. Not to say that I only write sad music, but... I tend to overthink a lot, and that leads to songs that are, well, overthought out. Definitely the happier ones, and I'm really glad that people like it. I'm so happy.
I really do. And again, like I said in the beginning, I don't lie. I do not lie to artists. If I don't like a song, I don't like the song. I'll tell you, oh, my God, that song was horrible. But I really like that song. I really do.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you like it.
It's a really good song. I really like it. I like it. It's better than hearing all the rap stuff talking about guns. I really like the song. I like this
gotta
song.
Change
I really,
it up.
Really, really like this song.
Thank you so much.
I will continue to play this song because I
awesome.
Like it.
Sounds good to me.
So, not every time I play this song, I actually tweet it because sometimes I forget and sometimes I'm like multitasking, so I don't get to tweet the artist every time I do play their song.
Right.
But for the most part, I do remember to tweet the artist and let them know that I'm playing the song. So you'll get the tweet to know that, you know, so you can
know
that I am playing your song.
I'm
going to
make sure that I follow you once I finish this interview.
Okay.
So every time you mention me, I'm like, oh my God, Molly just mentioned me on the Twitter.
Okay. All right. And again, like I said, I like this song. Really, I'm going to make my husband listen to it. I'm going to make my mother-in-law listen to it. I'm going to make my dad listen to it. So it's a good song.
Family
really
dance
like
party.
And my husband, he has a radio station as well. So
nice. The
song will get played on his station, and it will get put on. He does, like, mixtapes, and he put, you know, different, like, he has, they do have rap ones, they have R&B ones, so once I tell him I like the song, he will put the song on his station and on his mixtape. So,
that's so flattering.
Once
Thank
the
you.
Song, you're welcome. Once the song goes up on the mixtape, I will send you, or I will tweet you, or however, we'll figure it out. And you, so just so you can see that your song is being played and people are listening to it, and you know you'll see it because it'll be on a mixtape, and the mixtape, you know, do very well. And he has, you know what, do that.
Oh my gosh, this is so nice. Thank you so much. I'm like saying thank you 100 times, but I'm really grateful for this. All thank you for all.
You're
this.
Welcome. Because again, if I like it, I'm going to make sure I put my husband to work because he does the hard stuff. I do the easy stuff. So I'm going to make sure it gets done.
You got to make him work.
Of course. So, like I said, I will make sure that other people will hear this song because I really do like it.
Wonderful. That'll be amazing. We're trying to get as many people to hear the song and to watch the video. Did you watch the video?
What video?
There's a music video to the song.
Don't tell me that. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is there dancing?
I don't lie. Okay, so I'm a really bad dancer, so yeah, there's dancing, but it's Petra type dancing.
Okay.
The video came about, we started filming it in May, finished it in like June. I think I mentioned before, my mom made all of the costumes in the music videos, so you're going to see these ridiculous hats and crowns and these jewelry pieces. My mom made all of them, so she's very artistic as well. And it's just basically about me. There really isn't a plot to the music video other than just getting everyone to get to know who I am. I felt like that would be the best message to send across for the video. We did film in New York City. We mostly filmed at Coney Island, and we got to also film at Brooklyn Night Bazaar 2 nights before it closed. That was totally a trip because I was in this wonderful costume with like these feathers and this fishnet and this huge jacket, and I walked into Brooklyn Night Bazaar, and they're just like, whoa, what are you doing? I think, like, there are also people, like, dressed up this way, but they're also just like, what are you doing? And we got to go around film there before it closed, so it's, like, a little bit of a, what can you call it, more like a museum-type piece, because Brooklyn Night Bazaar is now completely closed, which is so sad. And we got to also, we also filmed at a studio a little bit too to get some shots of these different and crazy outfits. So you should definitely watch it. I actually, you know, I'm going to tweet you.
I'm watching it now. I'm actually watching it right now.
Okay. You're on your game.
Yeah. I move fast. Trust me. You look very pretty.
Thanks.
Gosh. Yes, I'm really watching it. I really am watching the video.
Live on the radio.
And I tweeted it.
Music video.
Yeah, and I tweeted it out, but I tweeted it from my husband's Twitter, I think, because I don't know my password to my Twitter. But, because I'm working as I'm talking. So, okay, I tweeted it. I just need, because, of course, I don't have your Twitter or my husband's Twitter. What is your Twitter? Oh, wait, you know what? Let's do this the correct way. For everyone who wants to follow you on Twitter or Instagram, what's your information?
So to follow me on Twitter, it's at Petra Jarrar. So I'll just spell it out. It's PetraJarrar. On Instagram, it's Petra Zara Jarrar. Just had to add my middle name there. So it's same spelling, but Zara is spelled Z-A-R-A-H. And I like to follow people back. So follow me, please.
Okay. So, you heard her? Oh, wait, and for people, okay, because I do have, you know, there's other people that listen, not just, you know, people who like to listen to music, people who make beats and they do all types of things. A DJ or anybody wanting to get in contact with you, you know, whether it's email, how can they, you know, get in contact with you?
Okay, so I'm a huge email junkie. I love corresponding by email. So send me an email. That is pvjofficialmusic@gmail.com. So just send me an email there, and you will get a direct reply from yours truly.
And they go to your, you know, because some people are a little bit slower than others. I'm not going to say any names but me. If, you know, is that information either on your Twitter or your Instagram?
Yeah, all of the information that I'm telling you, it's available on my Twitter, my Instagram. I have a website. I should plug that, too, because it's a really cool website. It's PetraJarrar.com, and everything is there, all of my social media. There's a little blog post page that I hope people can read because I like writing out my thoughts. And there's like an email list sign up. There's everything there. That's like Petra's world right at your fingertips. So send everybody to my website, PetraJarrar.com.
Okay. And wait, because I'm a little slow. Now I don't want to add my phone number. So, okay, if... Well, she said all your information is up and people can contact you. And I'm not sure if your email is in my email that I have received, but if it's not, I'll through Twitter. And I will be, you know, like I said, I'll send you over the information of where your song is. Like if my husband, you know, well, I'm not going to say
right
because he is. he is going to put your song on the website because he tells him. So
he's probably listening to the next one like, yes, yes, I'm listening to you.
So he is going to put the song on there. When he does, he's a little slow. I hope he doesn't, hope he can't hear me. But he will, when he gets it up there, I'll send you over the information and where it is, you know, where it is on the name of the website and things like that, just so you can see that, you know, we really are, you know, putting music out there. We're not just talking.
That's really fantastic, and I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you so, so much.
You're welcome. So, like I said again, we will be playing your song. I like your song. I'm going to put the song on my phone.
Yeah,
and I watched the video. I liked the video, and I just made my, well, I the video out. And once I get into my Twitter, once I forget my password, then I'm going to tweet the video out and things like that so that other people can see it. I'm going to post it on my Facebook page, and I'm going to post it on a few fan pages that I have access to because, again, I like your song. I really do.
Thank you so much, and thank you for playing it. I'm so excited to hear my song on the radio.
Oh, I'm glad I can make you happy today.
You did. You achieved that goal.
And one more question before I let you go. When do you think you will be going on tour, like if you're going to be doing a promo tour or anything like that?
Okay, so honestly, I have not planned out a promo tour yet, but I'm talking to some people, and I'm trying to coordinate some shows, both in Connecticut and in New York City, and once that information is out, which should be probably, I would say, within the next several weeks, I'm going to put it on all of my social media. Following me, and you've checked out my social media, you will find everything there. You won't miss anything.
Okay. And oh, gosh, I had a brain fart. I had another question to ask you, and I forgot.
You'd always tweet at me, and I'll reply.
Because I just got on Twitter, and I was about to retweet the video, and I forgot the question I was going to ask. Oh, that's so sad.
It's okay.
I will figure it out. It was
whenever
about...
you remember it.
What was that about? That's so sad. I feel like an old lady. I really do.
Don't say that. Just... I'll reply at any time, whenever you remember it. I'll be like, yes, this is the answer to the question.
Okay. So, I remember.
Whenever,
whenever you want to come back on the show, you just let me know, and I will welcome you with open arms. And if you have any new music that you want us to play, you can just send it over, and I'll make sure that we get it going for you.
Fantastic. Good news. There definitely is a lot more music coming. So I would say starting in the fall, you're going to get hit with a lot of music from me. So it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And I'll make sure to send you everything.
Okay. Thank you. I will really appreciate it because I like your music.
Thank you.
And that is the closing of our interview. I would like to thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah,
hanging out with
us. Having me.
I really appreciate it.
Of course. This is the best way to spend a Wednesday night. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
And guys, I'm going to leave you with a few more songs, and then I'm about to go eat some chocolate chip cookies if my daughter didn't eat them all. Holla.
You. Drink all you can fuck.